three, which is the director's report. So.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, because we're a bit late on time, we have a nice written report in your booklet. I'll just make a couple comments on drought, and Commissioner Wecker already mentioned some of those, but I want to acknowledge the excellent reports we've been receiving weekly from Teresa Scott. She's done a terrific job this summer, and I also enjoy seeing those and distribute them widely. A couple items along there. We've been monitoring many of our stream systems for temperatures, fish survival. We've made some changes, and we've closed about 30 rivers throughout Washington. We've gone to what we call hoot owl seasons on several waters, and we're continuing to monitor waters throughout the state. Luckily, the last week or so, we have seen some cooling temperatures, and so we're hoping to see some relief. Typically, August, early September is when we have these low water problems, and although I'm new to Washington, I understand we're about a month early than normal on most things. So we're going to carefully watch that. We have had some problems with our hatchery production, and we've lost about 1.5 million smolts or younger fish this year. And so that's been pretty disturbing. Some of the problems have arisen from increased disease issues because of warmer water temperatures. And we've gotten on top of that. We haven't had any big hatchery problems this last couple weeks, so we're feeling better about that. But it is disturbing to lose that many young fish. Let's see here. We've done quite a bit of work within the wildlife program, our access boat ramps. We've extended boat ramps in four different areas, and continuing to try to work with sportsmen to get their boats to the water and maintain the recreation that we can. Certainly some of our reservoir and, of course, the saltwater fisheries haven't been as impacted by the drought in a few areas, so we want to make sure that sportsmen can still get to where they can fish and enjoy fishing. I was going to ask Nate to give a brief update on our wolf situation. He knows the information better than any of us, and I think he can fly through that and do a better job than I can.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Director Unsworth. Just a few highlights from the past couple months on wolf management. We've captured three wolves since May. It's between us and our partners. So we're continuing to make a focused effort here to get collars out. It helps us, of course, with population monitoring, as well as be able to provide that telemetry information to range riders and our conflict staff to help avoid and minimize conflicts between livestock and wolves. We did have a couple packs with depredations this year. The Dirty Shirt pack in Stevens County has killed three cows and one calf. This all occurred just before July 10th. We had heard about it kind of the night of July 9th, had folks out while we were finding those additional carcasses through that subsequent work week. We were also ramping up non-lethal measures and working with the producer and the Forest Service on the allotment. And at this point in time, while all those depredations were found at or before July 10th, we have not had a subsequent depredation. So things are going good so far up there. And then the Tianaway pack in Kittitas County had killed a yearling cow in July. That pack had been involved in a conflict with a herding dog several years ago. It's the first time it's had a confirmed depredation on livestock in that area. This is a portion of the state, of course, that's federally listed as endangered, and so a lot of our efforts need to be coordinated with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. When Director Unsworth first came on board in February, one of the high priorities he identified for us was to increase outreach on wolf management. And so a couple things that have gone into effect. One is we have PAC deterrence updates on the website. So each PAC has a kind of a page, a history of the PAC numbers and what's in play and the depredation history and map of the grazing allotments in the area, et cetera. So I think that's been useful for those that are closely tracking this issue, as well as when we have a conflict, we're getting the word out, have sometimes daily updates and conference calls with our Wolf Advisory Group, walking them through both the activities on the ground and what other ideas that we can throw at the situation to address the issue. We have awarded our contract to a facilitator for our Wolf Advisory Group. The Human-Wildlife Conflict Collaboration received that contract. So we have our facilitator. I know a number of you had been interviewed by Francine Madden. So she's on board now, and we'll be having a Wolf Advisory Group meeting here in early September. Also, we just hosted a training for a number of news outlets up in on the Tianaway Community Forest, and while wolves are certainly a big issue, we wanted to make sure that the reporters had an opportunity to understand our efforts in terms of population monitoring, range riding, and then interacted with a producer and their range rider that works in that area. So I think that we've been getting some good coverage out of that. I think that'll you'll continue to see some stories coming in profiling our conflict efforts. And lastly, on wolves, as you know, Dave Ware had retired at the end of June, did a recruitment for a wolf policy lead and had offered the position to Donnie Martorello. He started on July 16th, which was right when we were in the middle of the Dirty Shirt pack depredation. So he's up and running, to say the least. So. We had a couple other things in the wildlife program report, and happy to visit with you at breaks or things on those items.
Just made a point of clarification. You said that you collared 3 wolves. In the director's report, captured 11 wolves. What's the number?
Yeah, so it was 3 wolves since May. Sorry, and so the winter captures that we had done from the air. So we have 11 animals collared in the calendar year 2015. 3 were from this spring.
Okay. So that gives us a total of how many
collars? We now have 14 active collars in 10 of the 16 wolf packs.
Now, when will you start getting some numbers together on pups? When will you start? I'm sure you're collecting data now on how many pups recruitment we got.
Yeah, we're Commissioner Smith, Commissioner Holzmiller. We continue to track status. You know, we've got trail cameras out there recording sightings from our range riders, our staff, from the public. When those counts really go into effect is when we do the counts in the winter, and then those go for the annual count that we submit to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for all of 2015.
It'll be this winter before we get any kind of numbers on what we had for recruitment.
Yeah, and if there's particular packs you're interested in, ship a note to me or Donnie, and we'll get you the information that we have for on the ground for that for each pack.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Green? Nate. Oh, I didn't know who to look to. And I just want to compliment the work that's gone on from the Wolf folks and your staff and you know, everybody, Donnie, and the communication, as I work in this area quite a bit, has been just excellent. I mean, stellar. And I think that was a big step to help a lot of different organizations and people that when things happen like Dirty Shirt to just, you know what's going on. It's been excellent. And I'd like the commission to consider a couple of things in Nate's report. One is that in the Dirty Shirt, where no non-lethal was being done prior to the depredations, Now that non-lethal is being practiced, range riders are out there, the depredations have stopped. Knock on wood, it could occur again. But think about that. It's what would have happened if those non-lethal practices had been in place prior to any depredations. Having said that, right over to the Tianaway Pack, that non-lethal was in place, good range riding was being done, and yet a depredation occurred. It's just a reality of what we have to deal with. Do as much possible with as many tools as you have, and still you may not be successful. But just want to thank you again for the great work, I think, that's coming out of this with some really trying times, you know, Dirty Shirt and TNOA and different things happening in the wolf world.
Okay, thank you, Nate. I'll finish my report just with a couple comments on our fish program. We've initiated our North Falcon process now. I mean, we don't usually think of that until next winter. But we've started, we've had recent meetings with the Northwest Indian Fish Commission, and there's a small note at the end on some of the topics that we've covered, but we are beginning our meetings with individual tribes right now and reaching out to them. We're going to try to do a few things with some of the individual tribes. We're reaching out and taking a look as co-managers on the Lake Washington stuff, and hopefully we'll make a little progress there, and maybe trying a few things where we're doing some earlier one-on-one, but still plenty of challenges ahead in that area.
Thank you, Director. Yeah. Commissioner Carpenter.
Director Unsworth, on page 7, regarding your just concluded comments, bullet number 3, implementation of electronic fish tickets, is that an effort the tribes are making to improve their catch accounting abilities, or is it a timeliness issue or a combination thereof?
Well, I think it is a combination. Jim, would you like to just comment to that real quick?
Yeah, thank you. Jim Scott, the interest from both co-managers is to move into the modern age. We're stuck right now in a system of paperwork that is not very efficient and not very effective. And so both the tribes and the state have been working to implement an electronic system. And we've had on the tribal side one trial last year, and we're going to have a second test this coming fall.
I raise that question because up in the area that I reside, within the last 30 days, there's been a number of constituent calls, and even some calls from enforcement about Chinook being sold at fruit stands in the area, and a question about the validity of catch accounting. And there was quite a bit of chaos over that for a while, and I'm hoping we're getting our arms around that.
Yeah. Continuing focus.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim. Yes.
Also, the potential to accelerate recreational fishery catch reporting, is this, are we talking about punch cards there for salmon and steelhead, or I'm not sure which, what kind of reporting you're talking about here?
I should have had Jim stay for a minute. Sure. But.
Yeah, it's Jim. Thanks.
Yeah, it's analogous to the commercial catch reporting system. So as you're aware, we have catch record cards, punch cards, that have been used for, 50 years now, I think. Yeah. Very labor-intensive. And once we get the cards turned in, it's roughly 6 months for a preliminary estimate of catch and a full year before we get the final estimate. Right. And so the thought, again, is, wow, this is the modern age. A lot of our fishers have smartphones. Is there some way we can expedite and make that process more efficient?
Well, I would encourage the pursuit of this. I know, for example, while I was serving on the endorsement board for the salmon steelhead stamp, that we actually funded a position for someone to tabulate 5 years worth of catch reporting for Region 5. They were that far behind in that circumstance. Where in my region, we're almost, in say, Methouse Steelhead as an example, we get daily reports from Creel census takers to estimate the duration of our season. So, yeah, I would really like to see how we can more accurately and with more speed track our harvest in relation to wild fish and release of hatchery fish and retention of adipose clip, those types of things. It's really important.
Right with you.
Yeah. All right, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Just a couple more comments.
You want to comment on that?
Yeah. Right.
Just, oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't see comment.
Yeah, Jim, you can stay in your seat. Thank you. The genetic analysis of Mark selective fishery catch samples. Purpose for that? I think I know, but...
So our for folks who are engaged in the North of Falcon process, you know that we use a preseason planning model to estimate stock composition. And that's based on coated wire tags that each year are adjusted by the abundance, the projected abundance of fish for that year. So our thought for a long time has been, wouldn't it be nice to actually look at what empirical evidence tells us in season or postseason about the stock composition of the catch? So moving from a system based on a preliminary projection using a model to an actual collection of data and genetic analysis to determine the stock origin of the catch. So that's the thought. There's obviously some challenges to implementing that, but we want to take a hard look and see what we can do.
Thank you.
Anything else for Jim so he doesn't have to yo-yo again? All right. You're safe now, Jim. Go back.
Just a couple more items. One thing in the Fish Subcommittee meeting that came up yesterday, and I think I just want to mention it because it's important. We had a, I guess I would call it a spirited discussion about our some compact decisions and the keeping of unmarked fish in the lower Columbia and how that impacted folks in the upper Columbia. It was a good discussion. And I think that I just wanted to let the commission know that I commit to doing a better job within our department about how we make those decisions and how so everyone has some input and how we move on those in the future. Yesterday we talked a little bit about the discussion. It was not unlike when I was in Idaho, Idaho people talking about you Washington guys. So I want us to be on the same page within our department, and we're going to work hard to do that next year and in the future. The other item that I have, I'm going to have Joe talk to a little bit. I think you've been hearing that we're moving into some listening sessions with our sportsmen, and I'm looking for their input on what the kind of the department that they want to see into the future. And we're getting geared up and excited about that. And Joe's is taking the lead and done a bunch of organization already, but we're kicking off some listening sessions this fall. We're going to have them in all the regions. Hopefully you all will be able to attend those. I think they're going to be pretty fun sessions. But, Joe, you want to give us a little update on that?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Director, and good morning, Commissioners. We've got kind of an exciting opportunity, I think, here with a new director, a new administration, post-legislative session, to get out and talk to the public about how we improve our service delivery, how we improve our relevance, how we engage local communities and partner to enhance the experience of our traditional users, our hunters and fishers, and also to recognize the broader set of folks that interact with us, that see the benefits we provide, that recreate on our lands. So the intent is to, in a first phase, as the director said, to go out and set the stage for some listening, whether that's in some larger regional public meetings. We'll do our best to solicit participation with invitations, et cetera. We're doing a lot of outreach to user groups of various sorts and our various advisory groups, as well as a lot of one-on-one. And it'll be to try and make sure people understand what we do and the possibilities there, but more importantly, to listen to where they think we're doing well, where we're not doing so well. And in doing that, start to gather some ideas about where we want to focus. What do we want to accomplish this biennium to keep this agency improving in terms of connecting with the folks out there that we serve? And that could ultimately result in a lot of efficiencies internally in terms of how we manage ourselves. that could result in a lot of additional partnerships and probably will result in some policy and revenue possibilities, not for this next session probably, but probably the 2017 legislative session. So we're going to move through the next 15, 16 months, first by trying to gather up ideas and themes about where we ought to focus, how we ought to justify additional general fund even. As I think you know, we received quite a bit of new support in our general fund area to cover a lot of those kinds of costs too. So this isn't just about license fees potentially. This is about a broader set of improvements that we could make. This is about how we go and request a more general fund if we can come up with some good reasons to do so, as well as talk to our hunters and fishers about license fee use and additional things they'd like to see us do. So you're going to hear a lot more about this. We're just getting started, but it is pretty exciting, and it's a real opportunity to kind of keep the ship turning towards the right direction and moving forward.
Just one question. Thank you, Joe. When do you anticipate having kind of an agenda, if you will, a meeting schedule list, or
right
how
now,
exactly how you're going to do it?
We should have that shortly. I think by the middle of this month, Commissioner. We have six meetings set up for these larger group settings. They would begin September 10th and run through October 14th. We're putting agendas together as we speak. We're putting together the messaging. We're cataloging, identifying all the user groups we want to try to touch between now and, say, December. So there'll be more of this rolling out. It's still a little early, but pretty soon.
Thank you.
Yeah, in that vein, I think it's important for us as commissioners to be as at these as we can. So maybe before that gets inked, you could, because some dates we might not be available on that. So at least in our respective regions.
Yeah, we need you. We need your help. So we'll do that.
I agree, and I'm gone most of October hunting. So September. But is this similar to the meetings that you've held in Pateras in the past, or is it a difference?
Well, you know, we're asking ourselves that question now. How do we structure these meetings, and how do we make them less hand the mic around and complain, and more about trying to generate new ideas, new thoughts about, you know, where we could do better, as well as where the needs exist that people want us to try and achieve. So we're trying to structure them different than the Pateras round table, okay, that traditional meeting. But
yes.
You know, that's a really good question, Jay, because I've attended, I think, all but one of the meetings that have taken place in Pateras, and I watch a progression of a better atmosphere over the years. They were quite contentious initially. And one suggestion I might make is, say, more advance notice to the communities, when the meetings are going to take place, where they're going to take place, and also to help them kind of guide the discussion then, you know, what's the agenda, what are we looking for, what's the purpose of the meeting, working with local media, and I can help with that too, giving people a better idea of what to expect when they get there, and not just like you say, a complaint session, but looking for active, you know, solutions to their questions. And some of the best solutions to problems we have come from our user group, and this is an opportunity to hear those. Mm-hmm. So I really love this plan.
I think that's a great comment, Commissioner Graybill. One thing we're going to do different is we are going to have our regional directors, who know a lot of the local groups and a lot of the constituents, make personal phone calls, personal invites. And as we do that, we'll be able to explain our hope in terms of the outcomes for these meetings and get their feedback early on. And this will be going on. We're going to have this initial set of meetings, but if we do this right, we're going to be coming back over the course of the next 15 months in an evolving sort of way and looking for that support. The director talks about making sure the cavalry's behind us. You know, when we go to the legislative session and we ask for a new general fund, we want to make sure we're only doing that if it's for something that we have strong support for.
Yes.
And the same with any sort of new revenue sources or existing revenue sources. Spend time early on connecting and make sure we're focused on those priority areas.
Oh, that's great. And in the case of Region 2 and also Commissioner Thorburn, you know, these are large regions, and it may take more than one visit per region to accomplish what you're trying to do. And I might make that suggestion, too, that we look at a couple of different locations within those regions so that more of the public has access to this process.
Great. Thank you.
And I would encourage that as these invite lists are put together, they obviously do include the hook and bullet partners that we have out there, but we make the request to a broader community as well to solicit new allies as we go forward, whether it's in the watchable area or what. But so a little creative thinking in that.
Yeah, that's our intent.
Good. You're on top of it.
Thank you very much. That concludes our report. We have been having a little fun with this. At first, for no other reason than Joe and I aren't the most creative guys in the outfit, we were calling this the Healthy Fish and Wildlife Initiative. And so someone had the idea, hey, why don't we ask folks or have a little contest about what to name this thing and call it? And we've done that. I think we've had 30 or 35-something different individuals send us, I don't know, 150?
120
names for this thing. We're kind of going through them. Some of them aren't so great. Some of them are ones like Joe and I could have come up with, and others are really very clever. And so that's been fun, and we're trying to have some fun with this, and I think we're generating some real interest within the department, and staff seem to be enjoying this so far. So it's a good thing. It's sometimes hard to take 1,600 introverted biologists and turn them into people that want to communicate with folks and listen. But we're going to do our best to do that. So anyway, more for the next several months on this issue. So
great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good idea. Okay.